Today is Saturday, the 10th of February 2014, and we are about to commence the 119th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium conducted by the Nisarvanaya Forest Monastery. And to our great fortune, we have our Venerable Sister Rohini joining us into today's program to provide us with the valued guidance and insight representing Nisarvanaya Forest Monastery. I would like to welcome Venerable Manu on behalf of all of us who are joining through Zoom and also through the Facebook live stream of the Satipatthala Foundation. We would commence with the in-session practice and then move on to the talk on mindfulness based on the topic of happiness, and then we will wrap up the program after a question and answer session. I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Zoom session and also through the live stream over Facebook. Now, to get things started, I would like to invite Venerable Manu to commence with the in-session practice today. Over to Manu. Much merits.
Thank you, Nawantha. Okay, everyone. We'll practice mindful sitting today. So everybody sit comfortably. So straight posture. Once seated, check your body balance. Now you may close your eyes gently. You can keep your hands in a comfortable manner. Now you can be mindful about your seated posture. You can feel the lower back and legs are touching the seat wherever you sit. You may aware your clothes are touching. Gently you can scan your body from head to toes. Then you can find the most prominent feeling. If you are happy with the body, if you are happy with the posture, your mind will not drift away. So please try to keep your posture in a comfortable manner. Wherever prominent feelings appear, just focus on that. It could be breath. Or the posture somewhere your body touch with the other surfaces. Whatever the prominent feeling, just focus on that. Mind may drift to the future or the past. As soon as you notice it, not to worry, but you can bring your attention back to the body or the breath. If you are focusing on your breath, you might feel the coldness, warmness, short or long breath, and so on, the qualities of the breath. If you can feel them, just notice them, and you can be mindful about them. If any distractions happen from sounds or thoughts or any other feelings, if you can observe it in mindful way, you can observe it. As soon as possible, it is wise to take your attention back to the primary object. Main thing is not to worry whenever it drift away, whenever the mind drift away from your primary object. Don't get frustrated, don't get bothered about it. Just bring back the attention. And show your gratitude to come back. Whenever it come back to your prominent object, just show your gratitude with the happiness. Okay, everyone. I hope everyone had a good mindful sitting session. Over to you, Navantha.
Thank you, and much merits, Honorable Manu. Next, I would like to invite Manu again on behalf of all of us to commence with the talk on mindfulness based on the topic of happiness for today. Thank you, Manu.
Hello, everyone. So, our topic is happiness. So, what we need actually all the time. So, what is happiness? It is a good question, everyone. We all need to ask ourselves. And how do we feel when we are happy? That is other thing. And what do we need to do to get that such a feeling? So the next question is that. If we know these three questions and if we have some sort of answers to those questions, we are in the right path. So if I ask that what is happiness from someone, if someone asked me, I would say that rather than explaining what is happiness, it is easy to explain the opposite. If I am not happy, how I feel. So if I am not happy, I feel sad. So I feel disappointed. I feel frustrated. Frustrations of not achieving what I want or what I expect. Sometimes I get what I don't expect or what I don't want. Sometimes we have to live with people we don't like. Then there is a frustration, then there is a disappointed feeling. And when we are separate from people we like, so that is also kind of sadness or disappointment or frustration is in live with us. So those are opposite of happiness. So the happiness we can explain, usually we say when we are happy, we have a light mind, we are so feeling free, like a flying. So all those words we can use to express happiness. But rather I feel to say that if I am not sad, I am happy. If I am not frustrated, then I am happy. If I achieved what I want, then I am happy. If I am associate with people I want, people I like, then I am happy. So likewise, we can explain the happiness in opposite of sadness. That is very easy to understand. So then it is also easy to find what make you unhappy or happy. Because when we are not happy, we stress. Sometimes we can't tolerate that stress sometimes. So in reality, we are not most of the time not happy. So need to find the ways to deal or ways to deal with those unhappiness to become a happy person. Because most of the time, we seek happiness from outside, not within. Most of the time, we think the people who live with me, husband, wife, children, parents, they will give you happiness. Sometimes we think, if everything is goes as we expected, then we feel happy. So we think so. And if we live in a good place, we think we will be happy. If we have a good job, we think we will be happy. So when those things are not happening, it's always not real. We don't get all the happiness from through outside. If we expect from outsiders all those happiness, but it will not happen. Because they are individuals. They seek their happiness, not mine. So in that way, we need to find the happiness within me. Whoever we are dealing with, whoever surrounded us, it doesn't matter. If we are happy and if we are seeking the happiness within me, inside me. So for that, we need to find reasonable way to deal with other people, deal with other situations and the conflict or whatever the situation we are facing. So one thing is, if we want to be happy or if we want to find the happiness within me, we need to find or we need to deal or we need to go with the flow. We need to face any difficulties or any situation with less friction or without any friction. So it is very hard to have any road or any path without any friction. But if we can find the less friction path, that means we are going with the flow. So if that happens, we can be a little bit of happy. We can add a little bit of happiness to our life. So we go with the flow is not easy. Because we have that self-identification. I am here. So I am. So when I am here, there are some other people around me. So I am and others. So my people and others. Me and others. My thing and others values or anything. So always there is a self-identification. That self-identification is always with greedy and conceit. That ego is there and the greediness is there. With these two, it is so hard to go with the flow. Because always I think I need to conquer. Oh, I need to get that whatever it is. I need to be a happy person with my whatever I want to have it, I need to have it. So I do whatever I can do to achieve that goal or achieve or obtain that thing. So because of this, it is very hard to go with the flow. What we need to do, we need to accept the situation as it is. Only the situation, not as I am facing, not as you are facing, just it is as a situation, just it is as a common thing, not about myself or not about my involvement, just if we can appreciate the situation, if we can accept the situation or incident, whatever happened, then it is easy to go with the flow. Usually what we do, the situation is there, then I go there and says, oh, I saw it, I did this, I did that, and the other people did this, and other people are not doing this. You know, we always keep other people and myself into that situation. So then it is very hard to go with the flow. So one thing is, if you want to go with the flow, that means least frictional path then you have to accept the situation. You have to accept the incident. You have to accept the environment. Not it as an owner. There should not be an owner. Because we can't, most of the time, we can't control anything. Most of the time, there is no authority to control over. The other thing is, we need to avoid comparison. If we want to be happy, we need to avoid those comparison. Comparison with some other people. Comparison with the other situation. Compare with something else. So mostly we do this. Mostly we compare with other things. The situation, we don't separate the situation as a individual one. We always compare. The last time it has happened like this way. So what we did last time is this. But today we are not going to do. Or we compare. All the time we compare. Even people say that when you eat dal, you eat dal today with rice. But while you are eating dal with rice right now, you are thinking of dal you ate maybe 20 years ago. So you compare with that taste 20 years ago, what you had taste is less so good, whatever the comparison, you compare with that. So now you are not enjoying that dal right now. But you are eating, but you are not enjoying it. Instead, you are enjoying the 20 years ago what you eat. So likewise, we do most of the time this comparison. With that comparison make you unhappy most of the time. Because you always compare with whatever you think the best with right now what you have. That comparison make you unhappy. So comparison, all the time you make that comparison out of conceit most of the time. Sometimes the greediness is there. So if we can't or if we can avoid comparison through less self-identification, then it is a success. Then we can be happy. One other thing I can say is give a compliment now and then. If we can give a compliment, even ever maybe that person is, I am very cross with that person. Someone is there, I am very cross with that person, I don't like that person. But if without having that conflict or without having that cross feelings towards that person, at least once a week or once a month, if we can give a compliment for that person, I think we can be happy. Because we never think that if we can do such a thing for such a person, we always feel, oh, okay, it is not good because that person will think that I am something about me, bad, something bad about me. That person will think I am coming behind him or coming behind her to negotiate. But instead of thinking that way, if you can give a compliment, in return you will get lot of compliment maybe, or even without any compliment from others, you feel happy. That is another way of getting happiness. And another thing is showing gratitude. Showing gratitude. Maybe we can talk about people and things, both. The showing gratitude is mostly effective way of having happiness. We will go to our practice. Just imagine when we start to practice mindfulness. So when we, as a beginner, you always try to focus on the given object. focus on the primary object. So as a beginner, it is so hard to focus. The mind is drifting away with the sound or the thoughts, and you know, all sort of things are distracting. So after 5, maybe 10 minutes, after drifting away with all those thoughts and pains and everything, on a single minute or single second or split second, mind come to the object, primary object. If that moment, if we can show our gratitude, at least now my mindfulness come back to my primary object. And that gratitude, if we can show, in return, the mind will come back sooner than before, next time. So the gratitude is very important, even with the day-to-day life as well as our practice, in our practice. So if we can show that gratitude, the mind become happy. With that gratitude, mind usually becomes soft and happy. That happy mind like to come back again and again to the primary object. It is the way of how mind behave. So the one thing is, in our practice, this showing gratitude, one thing I can show in that way. So in my life, when I started mindfulness, someone who introduced mindfulness asked me to observe whatever I do. So at that time, I was working as a tissue culture assistant in a tissue culture lab. So the tissue culture work is very, very close, individual, very individual compartments are there. So nobody is involving. You can work alone. So I thought, it is simple. It is very simple. I thought so, and I went. The next day, the evening, she told me, and the next day morning, I went thinking, okay, I will do practice mindfulness. So I tried and tried and tried. I was failed. I couldn't. And the evening, she asked me whether I could do that or not. Then I said no. Like that, 2-3 days passed. And every day in the afternoon, she asked me if it is easy or if I had done. Then always I had to say no. Then that was very harsh on me. It was like my conceit came up, thinking it is so not nice to say that every day. No, I couldn't. So the next day I thought, no, I will do. I will put my all effort to practice. And then the effort was high, very, very high. At one point, I thought, no, I will give up. I will give up. The next second, as soon as I thought I will give up, the next second, mind was very freed and happy. And the next moment, I could find my thoughts. So one after one, here and there, I could find thoughts. Then I realized, okay, if I can find thoughts here and there, not continuously, but here and there I could find. That made me very happy. And I showed that gratitude towards my mind, thinking, okay, now you got the art of this, art of the mindfulness. So that is the first step in my mindfulness practice. So giving up and giving the show in the attitude, gratitude. So this too is very, very interestingly, very important in our practice. It is really very interesting. If you practice these two, maybe you are agree with me. Because always if we cling to something, for example, if you are a little bit or not a beginner, if you practice sometimes, if you have a certain level of equanimity or samadhi, so next day you always think, okay, if I can have that samadhi today, you sit always thinking that way. So whenever you think that way and whenever you sit, you will never get that. You will never reach that samadhi or equanimity. But instead, or you give up. Okay, that day, yes, I had that samadhi. I had that equanimity. I had that 5 minutes continuous concentration on my primary object. And today it will not happen. Or will happen. It doesn't matter. Without any expectation, if I see it, if I focus on my primary object, that free mind, that happy mind will give you more than you expect. So that is what happened to me. And maybe most of you has that experience. Most of you have that experience, I'm pretty sure. So that is how to show the gratitude and giving up. The other thing is, if you can look at your thirst to become. No, when there is a conflict, that is a sad moment or disappointed time, so you are sad, you are not happy at all. If you can look at the thirst, why you become unhappy? Honestly, if you can look at it, the thirst of greediness or thirst of mana or thirst of conceit, if you can honestly analyze it, I am pretty sure you will get happiness at that moment. No taking time. Not tomorrow, not after 1 hour, not that. At that very moment, you will get the happiness. Even though you are very frustrated, if you can look at, if you can penetrate, if you can analyze that thirst towards the conceit or towards the greediness, whatever the reason that sadness for that sadness, then you will definitely get the happiness from that. The other thing is let go. I'm not really happy about this letting go thing, because it is so hard to let go when you are in a frustration level, when you are in a not happy mood. It's so hard to let go. But instead, if you can look deeply, honestly, as I said before, whatever happened, if you can analyze it honestly, if you can analyze it without any bias, non-fictional way or less fictional way, then you can let go. And the other thing is less expectations. If you are having less expectations, a few expectations or low expectations, then you can be a very happy person. So the expectation, whenever you have high expectations, that lead you unhappiness, towards the unhappiness. Because most of the time, expectations are not fulfilled or success. Most of the time it can't be, because the expectations are most of the time very high. We have very high expectation. In a way, sometimes, for example, if we are facing to an exam, so Bhante sometimes says that 80-20 proportion. If you focus on 80, then you will get 20. Or if you focus on 20, then you will get 80. Likewise, there are some theories, but if we are talking about happiness, as long as we have less expectations, we can be a happy person. And the other thing is less greed or self-identification. The everything whatever the thought comes, that if we say, okay, that my thought, I thought that way, that is my idea, and this thing is mine, and that thing is mine, and everything, if we gather around myself and I, that the self-identification make you unhappy most of the time. So if we can reduce that self-identification, thoughts are coming. As they come, they go. If we can look at that thoughts are coming and going without interfering, without any giving the I or ego into that, the thoughts will come and go. It doesn't make any harm. But if we identify it as my thought, then it will most definitely will give you unhappiness, sadness. So in meditation, if I briefly say, keep the object in vicinity. So it is very hard. In the beginner, as a beginner, it doesn't happen most of the time, as I told you, my experience. So it is happen, if you can feel free, like, you know, it will happen one day. So the greediness or the thirst for the equanimity or thirst for something I want, thirst for something to achieve, then it will not come. In the meditation, you need to have a free mind to sit, just observe whatever come, whatever present movement, whatever happening, you just observe. That is the main thing in meditation if you want to be a happy person. And the other thing is, when something you achieved in meditation, for as a equanimity or something you achieved, you feel like, okay, I am getting progress. If you feel that. So don't expect to carry on in next session also. If don't expect to will happen, don't expect it will happen in next session as well. So without any expectation, just sit, just walk, just be mindful in day-to-day activities. In that sense, you can be a happy person in meditation. And in meditation also, don't expect too much. And also, don't compare with others, or don't compare with your past experience with now. The present experience and the past experience, don't compare. Or don't compare with others. And the other thing is, don't think it is permanent. Any experience is not permanent. Everything is impermanent and everything will change. And even in the meditation, try to let go whatever concepts, whatever thoughts are coming, just let go without interfering myself in there, without doing any self-identification. I saw this in my meditation. I saw this. My meditation is good. Today is good. Likewise. So, summing up like that, what I want to tell in the as a beginner or mindfulness practitioner, we need to face, in day-to-day life, we need to face many difficulties, many conflicts, many situations. So how we need to deal with them to keep the happiness within us. And we should not seek the happiness from outside. It should be within ourselves, inside. So how to develop that inside happiness is practicing mindfulness. Although we are practicing mindfulness, within that mindfulness practice as also we need to think about those things, like letting go and expect no expectation, no comparison, whatever happened is just expect it and accept it, and gratitude towards whatever happened. Then we need to put the gratitude to our mind, and happy, actually when happiness is there, the practice is also go fast. So saying that, over to you, Namantha. Thank you for listening, everyone. I hope everyone has little bit of something to your knowledge or practice. Thank you, Namantha.
Much merits to you, Manu. That is a very clear explanation of how to maintain and how to achieve and maintain happiness over a consistent period of time, no matter what you're facing. So we will move on to the next item on our list, which will be the question and answer session. And I would like to invite Lushani to commence the session. I will share the screen for the beginners, for the introduction to the beginners. Thank you, Lushani.
Thank you, Namantha. Just very quickly, so if you are a beginner, what we need to do is we need to actually practice. So I think Venerable Rohini Bhikkhuni just gave us some very good advice and guidance on how to be happy. And this practicing mindfulness, walking and sitting, can really help with that sort of continuing that momentum throughout the day. So there are some guidance notes here, so you can watch the YouTube videos on mindful walking or sitting. I think Namantha is going to post the links on the chat as well. So allocate a small time daily and start practicing mindfulness. It can be at the beginning of the day or end of the day or whenever you are able to dedicate that time during the day. Start with a few minutes every day and then up it so that you get like 1 hour of mindful walking and 1 hour of mindful sitting. You can also write down your experiences in a reflection report, which you can then send to us. So the reflection report can be sort of what you experienced during your mindfulness sitting practice and walking practice, as well as what you experienced during the day. And send us that report. There are those two links. You can either send it into our Google Forms or email it to beginners@snv@gmail.com. Then we will read the reports like what we're going to do very soon. And then you can ask for guidance from the Venerables on how to go forward. So that concludes the mindfulness for beginners guide. With that said, Avasarai Venerable, we have received three reports. So I will start with the first report for the day. Theruvan Saranai Pante, walking meditation. No words arise to write and silence. Sitting meditation. While most of the time experiencing not being attached to things that come and go in day-to-day life, started to notice some discomfort in sitting meditation. Even being aware of what comes and goes as its reason and is not in one's control, to find why still discomfort was not easy. Even though kept observing and being aware of discomfort as it is right now there and accepting it as it is. Found that this discomfort arose due to boredom, if not fed up with the background, which I named things arise and fade. It was as if there was another way to get rid of that natural process of things arising and fading and be more resting. Then it arose that taking even things arising and passing as real is stopping going forward. Without judging, it let it be, and then felt comfortable, even noticed, still thinking arise and fade away. After that, in sitting meditation feels like what to sit, as it's like rotating in one place and nothing moves. So now it feels somewhat boring to sit, but still sit. Day to day. Day to day even is like merged and with things arising and fading and not doing at the same time, it's not like watching things and like just being things happen. Bhante, there is one incident that pops out from time to time while experiencing the state of being unmixed with things. It is in childhood an experience, a state where limitless, full of energy and so filled with still indescribable, just felt for a moment. It was like a somewhat similar state that now experiences as unmixed, but without being, without things arising and passing in the background or within. So time to time comes and goes, as that state cannot be experienced in this human experience. And it is natural for things to arise and fade, and it's not removable. So it is still like rejecting now and dreaming of what is not in a subtle way. So felt the need to keep accepting and being aware again and again, many times whenever discomfort arises, to be more rest, leaving the arising, passing background. Bhante, please kindly advise. End of the report.
Okay. Two things I noticed in this report. One is boring. The sitting is now getting boring. It says bored. The boredom is there, actually. It's the same thing happened again and again. When that happened, the beginner can't understand. Even though our experiences look like same, look like the same thing happening again and again, but that mindfulness is evolving. So the beginner doesn't know that, so they feel boredom. They feel bored. So that is normal. But you need to understand that even though the same thing you experience, that evolvement, mindfulness is evolving, so it's progressing. So the best thing is if you can write a report or yourself every day, write something. So when you write, you have an encouragement within you to practice. Otherwise, you get bored and you sometimes some people stop doing mindfulness sitting. Instead, they practice walking and day-to-day activities. When that boredom comes, that can happen. So in here, it's still that person whoever wrote this report said, even though it's boring, he or she is continuing. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Please keep on. Please keep, even though bored, just keep in your mind, even though that boredom is there, the mindfulness is evolving. So it is happening. Something is happening and the progress is there. So don't look at the face value to your mindfulness practice. Whatever happened, you experience different things. That's why the face value. So don't give a face value to whatever you see or whatever you experience. Rather, focus on your practice. Because that the mindfulness and the effort and the other all we call Indriya Dhamma, all those are evolving, all those are progressing. And the other one thing I notice in this report is that walking meditation practice, the same childhood experience or something come again and again, and whenever accepted it, although the person accepted it, again and again it comes. Is that true, Lushani? Is that right? Right way I understand. Or not?
Yes, Venerable. So in the walking meditation, it says no words arise to write and silence.
In one sentence, I heard that
yes.
I accepted thinking that it is the way of get rid of that thought or that concept, whatever happening. And again and again, after accepted,
Yes.
it comes again and again. Yeah. So
Yes, you're
in that,
absolutely right. I think that was in the day to day. You're right. The childhood experiences and the acceptance in the day to day.
Yeah. So in there, I would like to say that when those things happen, when you put attention to that, so when you get accepted, when you are trying to accept it, that means you put your attention there. So when you put attention, that it will come again. Just think, some is the people are walking in front of my house road. Maybe they are walking in front of me. They are walking. If I put attention, they will say hello. But if I just ignore it, if ignore them, they will go. They will move. So whenever you put attention to unnecessary things, they will say, they will come again. Say hello. Next time we'll have ask cup of tea. So if it is not necessary, if it is not important, just let go. It is the best thing. Not to put any attention, either going to accept it or not accept. Both are not working in these situations. Sometimes you need to ignore it without accepting or accepting. So ignoring is something, a skill. It is a skill. You need to develop it. It will develop when you do again and again those practice. When you are sitting, actually, especially when you are doing sitting mindfulness practice, that skills, most of the skills, you achieve. You even though you don't feel it, even though you don't know, that the panya, the wisdom is there. The accumulating wisdom is there. That wisdom leads you to ignore those things. Wisdom leads you to accept or not accept. That can decide what to accept and what not to accept. So please continue like that, not to stop, even though it is bored. Please continue the sitting and the walking, and do continue like this way.
Thank you, Venerable. I will read the second report for the day. Mindful walking. Walk on wooden floor with socks on. Stood at the beginning of the path, noticing the posture. Started to walk and noted that the usual sensations of body weight shifting from side to side, that most of the weight felt from waist down. Much less weight noted in the upper body. Feet movements were faster at the beginning, which became a bit slower as the session progressed. Lifting and placing sensations were prominent compared to the moving sensation. Sounds heard, but no reaction in mind. Thoughts also emerged from time to time. Again, no reaction or clarification. Pain in left side noted, that too was not meddled with. So attention returned to feet movement again. Walked for 55 minutes. Vibrating sensations in the soles of feet felt for quite a while after the session. Body and mind both felt energized. Mindful sitting. Sat on the low stool with feet tucked underneath. As soon as the body position was comfortable, the sleepiness arose. Managed to observe this without judgment. A stream of thoughts arose and passed away. Observed this too. At some point, breath became prominent and watched that too. Again, the sleepiness noted. Cannot remember if the body fell asleep. Sat for 50 minutes. Mind felt quite peaceful afterwards. Mindfulness during the day. The experience shared below shows the impact of regular mindfulness practice for both formal and informal. It felt like someone at a recent religious event who has so far only shown positive qualities and lots of wisdom through their behavior was avoiding interactions with me. Mind did pick up this change and noted the uncomfortable feelings and a low level of upset arising. There was a high possibility of divisive speech by another person known to both of us contributing to this. Mental proliferations happened, but became aware of this. There was an urge to talk this through with my Dhamma friend, although there was enough wisdom in the mind not to give in to the urge. The aware part of the mind wanted to let it be and experiment how long it would take for the mind to return to calmness from this agitation. Assume this would be difficult to manage. However, with months and years of mindfulness practice, now there is some proficiency in the mind in bringing awareness to task at hand, which has put some distance between above event and mental functioning. By the third day, no bad feelings or judgments were in the mind regarding the event. Memories associated with it did not stay long in the mind. Observe that I have not lost any respect for the person, nor lost any respect for self. Experiencing results of past causes is like this, and it felt okay. There was peacefulness in the mind. That event has also passed. When I did share this with the Dhamma friend on the fourth day, she was also there at the event. She gave useful feedback, including, when given enough time and space, how the mindfulness seems to dissolve both the agitations and excitements alike. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you.
Yeah, okay. Sitting and walking is doing okay. There's no comment on that actually, so it goes as usual way. That sleepiness is not the sleepiness, real sleepiness, because if anyone can do mindful walking in a successful way, so a continuous mindfulness, if someone can establish the continuous mindfulness on that while you are walking, that mindfulness carry on to the sitting meditation. So then what is happening in the mind, your mind is not in the middle path, not in the, greediness or the hatredness. Those are the two paths. Those are the two sides. So when you practice more mindfulness while you are walking, that the middle path is keeping all the time. So in the, when you do, when you walk, when you practice 5-10 minutes continuously in the middle path, without any greedy or without any hatred feelings or any delusions or anything, so that means you are mindful. So when you carry that mindfulness into the sitting meditation, you feel like sleepy. It is not real sleepiness. It obviously recorded in this report. It says, although it is sleepiness, look at it and the continuation has happened until 50 minutes. So it is a very good example in here. But about day-to-day activities and how you get agitated with other people's behavior and things like that. So that's what we talk about today actually. So those things happen. We can't expect other people will behave according to my desires, according to my way. Those things will happen. So what we need to do through practicing mindfulness, we need to have trained mind. What I meant by trained mind, when you are practicing mindfulness, the wisdom is there. So when you have that wisdom, you know what to do when the conflict or whatever the situation is not in good sense, how to behave. It will hurt you. Definitely it will hurt you. In this report, it says 2-3 days actually. So after 3 days, it has gone. And the fourth day, she could or he could talk with her friend. And the friend gives her good advice. So all those things is, the things happen and that irritate mind, because of that thing, the irritated mind will recover soon. So this time maybe it took 3 days. So when you practice more and more mindfulness, maybe you can recover your mind from those situations in 2 days' time. So fully enlightened one, recover mind in that split second time. In that very moment, he or she can recover. So likewise, there's a normal person can't recover maybe week or two, they will take to recover from that irritated situation. But when you practice more and more mindfulness, that wisdom is there, that the hardness is there, the diligence is there, so you can tolerate the irritation and keep it until on maybe two days, maybe 3 days only. So it gradually less and less, it become less and less, maybe next time one day. But adding to this, I would say, when those things happen, you need to analyze it. Like I said in my talk, you need to analyze why am I get irritation. Because if something has happened from outside, why am I get irritation? So it may be out of conceit. Because I feel like he should not behave in that way. Or she should not behave, or she should not say that. So because I am having that kind of conceit, kind of ego, I am such a person, that person should not do that. So if you can analyze it thoroughly, if you can analyze it in depth, honestly, then that irritation will not continue for a day or so. It will not continue like a long period. So need to analyze. If you can analyze with the other Dhamma friends, maybe. If you can't analyze alone, then you can analyze with Dhamma friend. So whatever the possibility, you need to take that possibility into action. It will take time. It will take sometimes, you know, when you analyze, honestly, sometimes you might feel you take extra time on that. So it doesn't matter though. It is worth to do. Analyzing part is worth to do. So if you can analyze honestly, but I repeat it, the honesty should be there. It will cost more time or extra work. Otherwise, uncomfortable conversation, maybe it will work with your, maybe with your Dhamma friend. If she can analyze on behalf of you, it will hurt you again. So the best thing is, if you can analyze yourself, whoever the person who is facing this situation, that is the best thing. Analyzing is making the carry-on time, less carry-on time.
Thank you, Venerable Rodney. I will read the next report, which is the third report for the day. Walking meditation. Walked on tile floor, watching sensations on feet. Felt the weight on both feet when standing. More cold on sole of left foot than the right. Hardness of floor observed, cold wave passed through body on and off during the walking. Sounds, thoughts, discomfort noted but not distracting, walked for 45 minutes. Sitting meditation, watch breath, colder in and warmer out breaths. More prominent breaths on right nostril, later on left. Breath became very subtle and felt only on one side. It then appeared at the level of the chest, perception of neck extending with face way above level of the head. Breathing continued to reappear and disappear. Body disappeared in parts and reappeared. Thoughts noted to be short and periods of mind noting no thoughts. Sat for 45 minutes. In another sitting session, thoughts that appear unexpectedly were noted. After a short period of breath disappearing, a thought arose to hit a person who had done nothing wrong to me, who I have not seen in years but disliked. An image appeared at the same time of this action. The next thought was one of amusement and the surprise that it all appeared at all. The thought that there was still underlying resentment and I needed to practice more loving kindness followed. The mind then went back to the breath and meditation continued. With gratitude to Bhante and organizers. End of the report.
Yeah. It's a good report actually. The mindfulness walking is happening well. Although distractions are there, there is continuation is happening and no bothering about distractions. So it is a good thing. And in the sitting also is happening good, nice way. When those enlarging neck or enlarging body and, you know, sometimes the half of the body is not feeling or sometimes it is like a fat, the more than fat, you feel like more than fat. Or all those are very common. Those perceptions are very common in practice. So not to worry about those perceptions. And when something happens, when the thought comes, as I said in before in my talk, when the self-identification has happened, even in within that split second while you are meditation, it's happening. When your self-identification is happened, that, when that thought came and you identify it as a perception and you analyze it in split second time, it took only a split second to analyze it as a past incident. So that is good enough, more than good enough to see the picture. So when it is established in your mind as a picture, then it is hard to get rid. The best thing is when that happens, even that in the perception level, if you can avoid without giving any attention, without any giving, without trying to destroy or avoid it, just let go. If you can do that, it is the best. So how you can do that is practice. When you practice again and again, otherwise when you're doing the metta, is kind of polluting your mindfulness practice. Because you do something purposefully. Metta is something like that. Metta, doing metta is we do purposefully something. There's a chetana. There's a, how do you call it? I can't find the word actually. So there is a purpose. You have a purpose to do that. So that means, you know, like if you say, okay, Sukhi Hontu or Suvapatveva, something like that, when you focus that type of word to someone, so you are purposefully doing that. So that poisons your mindfulness practice. So within your mindfulness practice, if you put metta or any other meditation technique, that is wasting time actually. But if you can't do anything else, if you can't carry on, then it's okay. But the best thing is just to not to identify those thoughts as mine. Not to give any attention to those perception as mine and not to carry on. I hope you can understand, whoever writing can understand what I am saying.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini, for that valuable advice and guidance. I think it is now time for any questions. So I think, especially for the report writers as well, if there are any questions you have as follow-up, please raise your Zoom hand and we can allow you to ask your questions. You can clarify. It's a very good time to clarify any burning questions.
Lushanya, the last one, if the person is here, please, if that person can't understand, raise the hand or ask the question. Because it is important to clarify the reply or clarify the...
Yeah. Maybe it's... I don't think they are here, Venerable. So maybe they will listen to it afterwards.
Yeah.
Anyone else has any questions on anything else that you would like to ask, Venerable? Yes, Mihiri, go ahead. Namantar, can Mihiri be unmuted? Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Avasarai Manio. Yeah, it was the last report was mine. I just wanted to clarify. I didn't do metta at the time. The thought arose, I should do metta. So it was what happened was the thought arose, the image arose, the amusement arose, and then the thought arose of should do metta. But then the mind just went back to the breath.
Good, good. Yeah, doing good.
But should I, in the future, in my, not during a mindful sitting session, should I then do metta towards this person?
No. Because
obviously, yes, no.
No. No.
It was just a thought that arose.
Yeah. So if a thought arose, if you can let go, that's the best.
Yeah. Okay.
When it comes at a perception level, if you can let go, that's the best. Sometimes you can't catch the thought, you can't catch the perception level. It comes as a formation.
Okay.
You made up with sentences.
Mm-hmm.
At least at that level, if you can let go, also best. Without doing any metta, karuna, or any other technique into the mindfulness practice.
Thank you. Thank you. Teruvan Saranai.
Teruvan Saranai.
So, Venerable Rohini, in an instance like that, then the metta automatically comes, isn't it? Once you let go and... Does it automatically then sort of come in? Because it's not something you can force. It has to automatically come.
There is a heartfelt metta, but no noticing, non-labeling. Mm. If you have a label or if you notice it, then there is a self is there. So now what we are doing, what you practice, when you practice mindfulness, the selfness, the self is dissolving. It is not anymore, any longer it's there. So it is gradually dissolving. So what you, when you do metta or any other meditation technique inside, into that mindfulness practice, the self is going back.
Back. Okay. Got you.
So, it should not happen. I can't say it should not happen, but it shouldn't let happen.
Yeah.
So if you can avoid it, that's the best.
Yeah. So in this instance, so it's just to see it as a thought. That just a thought, and then let it go, and then go back into the practice of the what the mindfulness, the breathing practice.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
When you are mature enough, You can see through that thought.
Mm.
Now, if you are not mature enough, you can let go. It's just bring back the attention to the breath. So when you are mature enough in meditation, in mindfulness practice, you don't need to bring back to the breath. You can observe the thought without any interference. So just let it happen, not to do forcefully though. Not to try it. Just it will happen.
Thank you. And thank you, Mihiri, for that valuable question. Thank you, Venerable. I can see Hema Mali has also raised her hand. Hema Mali, over to you. Now, Manta, I think there might be a problem with unmuting Hema Mali.
Yeah, she can unmute.
Hema Mali, you need to just accept the unmute that we are Hey, Mamali, I think you need to unmute because you're on mute. You have the option of pressing on the unmute button. Maybe she's raised the hand by mistake.
Yes, I think Namante. Yes, I think it is possible. It's an accident.
Yeah.
Raise a fan.
Probably. Okay. No, thank you so much, Venerable Rohini, for that valuable Dhamma talk and the valuable guidance and advice that you have given us today. Lots of merits and metta to you. May these merits help you with your practice and give you good help to practice with the non-surrendering. I will hand it back to Namanda.
Thank you very much, Lushani, and many merits to you as well. And many merits to Venerable Rohini Mani for valued insight and guidance as usual. And we wish that these merits will help Venerable Rohini Mani on her path to progress in mindfulness and to realization of the Four Truths, Four Noble Truths. And we would wish her great health and long life and to be able to live with great peace and harmony in the path of mindfulness. We would also like to wish and associate these merits to Venerable, Most Venerable Chief Panthee Udayiragama Dhammaji Mahatheru for insightfully requesting this program to be actualized in this manner. And we wish him long life and great health, and wish that his service to the mankind be continuing as usual, flourishing into the future. We would also like to wish these merits on to all the wonderful members of the organizing committee who have been providing a lot of support for the program over the over time from beginning to now, and wish these merits will have a positive impact on their own personal mindfulness practices and that they also flourish into the future, reaping benefit. Furthermore, I would like to thank all of you who have joined today through Zoom and who may have joined through Facebook live stream, and wish that these merits will have a positive impact on your lives, and hope that you are able to practice these concepts and achieve benefits in the coming days, weeks and months, and gain more benefits and experiences. So with that, I would also like to confirm that we would be having the same program run next week as well as usual. This is a weekly format program, and we hope that you are able to join, and we invite you to join the next week and following weeks as well, and wish that also that you all will have a happy and mindful week ahead and come back to the program as well. So with that, I would like to wish you a nice week ahead, and we will end the program now and see you next week. Thank you so much, and much thanks to all of you. I will end the session now.